Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Preparing here to boot it away. Parker has to retreat all the way inside his five, and he catches it. Makes a beeline past the 20. He's got some open space. Past the 40. Get past the punter. Inside the 40. Parker Washington is going to go all the way for a touchdown as he does the nasty plunge into the end zone. Return, and Jacksonville has scored the last three times it has touched the football.
Well, yeah, the fans had probably traveled too far to just pack it up and go home after that one. But for all accounts, after the Jacksonville Jaguars returned a punt 96 yards against the Patriots' formerly third best ranked special teams unit, you may as well have just called it a game. I got to tell you, for a team that was struggling, had no culture, seemed ready to fire their coach, and was in complete turnaround and turmoil, pats happen, huh? Boy, good thing the Patriots just found their way across the pond and into the arms of the Jaguars, as it was more fun for Pats Nation when it was 10-0 than when it was final. Jaguars 32, Patriots 16. Truly the only two decent things you can say about this game is that the Patriots look to actually have the part of a franchise quarterback, Drake May, with a solid day, if not spectacular, if unspectacular at times. And Jacksonville was kind enough to deliver the over at the end, punching it in with Tank Bigsby, giving you the Al Michaels special, as it was over and under of 42.5, 48 points the final. You can give us a call anytime, 617-779-7937, here on the Six Rings Postgame Show, live on WEEI, WEEI.com, the Odyssey app, and all of the WEEI affiliates and socials. You can holler at us at 37937 is the text line, as monitored by producer extraordinaire Joe Braverman, and of course the socials at FitzyGFY, at WEEI, and at Jumbo Hart. And as Andy joins us here on the postgame show, I'm going to borrow a line from a segment that is a popular segment run on Mondays on our midday show, Jones and Keefe. Hey, Andy, what happened?
You allowed the Jags to get right against you, and you're the worst team in football. I don't think there's any other way to sugarcoat it. This team stinks. The offensive line, still a mess. The run defense, a mess. The only thing you have is the only thing I wanted, Drake May. Other than that, even frickin' Pop Douglas gets sick early on. And I don't necessarily think it is a coincidence that Pop Douglas is out there early. The offense moves a little bit. He gets sick and he's not on the field. That's a blow to Drake May and I think what they want to do offensively. But there's not a lot to pull good from this game other than silver lining Hart comes through. We're number one. We're number one. Number one overall pick. The New England Patriots have a trade, and they get three first-round picks, and the rebuild is on, baby.
Yeah, I was going to open the show by saying, well, 1-16, as my co-host likes to say, is still on the table. And you know the funny thing is? It is.
Absolutely. I don't want to hear all those winnable games on the horizon. There was no more winnable game than this one. There was so the Bears, it's a winnable game. Tennessee, winnable game. My ass, they're all losable because this team is not good right now. I mean, I don't know. Did it finish with 19 straight runs that the Jaguars ran, I believe? 19 straight runs. That is you taken behind the shed and being old yellered. That's an embarrassment. I don't know how a middle linebacker, an all-pro middle linebacker, can coach a football team and watch his team give up 19 straight runs. They took their manhood, as one of our Twitter followers said, they took their testicles, they took whatever the hell they wanted from the Patriots today, and that has to be the most disappointing thing. Because as much as I want to have the number one pick, and I want to talk about Drake May looking pretty good out there, and you have a quarterback, the reality is teams are just bullying the New England Patriots right now.
Yeah, they're actually what they're doing is they're announcing their intentions. They're telling them across the schoolyard, hey, here's what we're going to do. we're going to come over there. We're gonna step on your toe. We're gonna give you a wet willy, and then with our other hand, we're gonna steal your lunch money, and we're gonna do it in front of your girlfriend.
And don't forget the wedgie. You got a wedgie too.
Well, you only have two hands, so you know.
Yeah, well, it's weird. Somehow they also gave you a wedgie, and that's not their hand.
But if any team could make the wedgie possible during the theft of their lunch money and the wet willy, it is these New England Patriots. It's just so. You know, I was down earlier at the stadium for the season ticket member watch party, and the vibes were terrific early on. People were legitimately excited. Everyone regionally, Andy, had bought in on the idea that if there were one more winnable game, if there were the perfect opponent for the Patriots, or at least the supposedly perfect, or so we thought, team, then it would be these Jacksonville Jaguars. Not a very good team. Lowest-ranked pass defense in the NFL. A mediocre rush defense at best. No culture, a coach on the chopping block, turmoil in Duval. And what do they need for a get-right game? A nice old dash of the New England Patriots. And across the pond, in front of their so-called fans as well. I feel, now look, I know fans last night had a big rally. Mr. Kraft was there. We'll get to that audio. We'll talk about that later on. So if you just traveled for the sheer sake of it, thank God at least people, instead of having to go to another city they've been to before, a stadium they've been to support their team, got to go someplace unique like Wembley, got to go visit London, got to meet up with some friends maybe that live in Europe. Who knows? It could have been a number of different things that would have made this an extraordinary, unique, or enjoyable trip. But otherwise, once the game started, I don't even know how. If you're a Pats fan, you were able to hoot, holler, sing, cheer, or drink your way through this because it just became depressing. The mood at the watch party completely mirrored the team's play. Everyone, like Twitter, just became a sad trombone of, oh, this player's sick. Or, oh, look, Mike Onwenu got beat again. Or, how could, you know, why don't we ever, why did we stop throwing? And the Alex Van Pelt and Jalen Polk, holy smokes, Andy. If there are two faces on the proverbial dartboard of Pats Nation right now, it is the guy they used the 37th overall.
W-E-E-I.
It is the guy they used.
Pushes the buttons there.
Yep. And Jalen. Well, there we go. That's so funny. Jalen. Must have been Jalen Polk because that was a drop. Hey,
that's the best thing you've ever said. That is the best thing you've ever said in my however many years of working with you. You nailed the hell out of that one. Take a bow, my friend.
Thank you. And then, of course, yeah, Jalen Polk and AVP. If they're on social media, I'm not saying jump off, but maybe don't check it later on today.
AVP is in the crosshairs.
I heard guys. If he's listening right now, Nick Pereira, I cannot get a fire AVP chant going for you on the post-game show, but he was trying to organize it amongst like the fans that were sitting there watching the game. Like people are just enjoying, like, you know, they're doing a little cookie decorating, they're having some pizza, a couple breakfast beverages, and then just everyone's like, well, time to pack up the car and go home and deal with the kids the rest of the day because this sucks.
Yeah, and I've come to my new working theory. Is they're going to keep AVP like he was in Cleveland. He'll be Drake May's quarterback's coach, and you'll have a new, you know, executive play caller, OC guy next year above him on the depth chart. Because I do think you can make an argument, as Tom Curran did on our afternoon program on Thursday, that he's done a nice job developing Drake May behind the scenes, and let's give him credit for that because that's what he does. It's what he did in Cleveland, right? Oh, he got five quarterbacks ready to play. I'm just not sure the play calling and game planning thing is for him. I'm not sure he's cut out for it. And, you know, they can save face, let him stay around as the well-paid quarterback's coach, probably too well-paid, but oh well, it's just money, and bring in Brian Daboll or bring in Kevin Stefanski, whoever the hell you want to bring in, because this play calling situation is going down a bad road, my friend, and it's going down it fast and not very fun. Because you know what the worst part for me was?
The brakes are out, the wheels are greased, the car's on fire.
Everyone, I don't even think they have brakes. They're using one of those, you know, those rock hills on the side that they tell trucks to drive up, like it's like crushed stone and like just let nature do its course.
Yes.
That's what they're hitting right now. But the sad part for me was I didn't even want them to win. And yet I was having fun in the first quarter. And I'm right? like, hell, we'll figure it out later. Just win the damn game. Have fun. Put up points. Put up yards. Like I was into it. And then it all went so wrong so badly.
So let me ask you this. So when I I have a super obvious, I'm not trying to be Socratic in my methodology here by asking a question, or I'm not answering a question with a question, but so when things are going well, why would you stop doing the things that are going well?
It's a great question. I don't really have an answer for it.
I didn't necessarily think you did, but for
Rich Keefe's going to ask on Friday when Alex Van Pelt joins the midday program, a guy who's already told them, what was the phrase he used? That's a weird question.
That's a weird question. I mean, yeah. Do we legitimately believe that the Patriots are going to make Van Pelt available for his interview Friday? I mean, he seems like a stand-up guy.
Yeah,
odd question.
He seems like somebody who is familiar with heat in the kitchen, which he can take. But
you have
man.
To. If you're going to preach transparency and silos and answers and working with the media, you can't pull a guy because the going isn't going very well. That would be more laughable than half the other laughable things they've done. But, of course, as you said, they've been sort of contradictory and laughable. This week's a perfect example. Early in the week, he's like, yeah, Verdarian Lowe's going to have an MRI or whoever it was. Then they ask about Drake May's MRI. Oh, we're not going to get into that. Well, you just told me the other guy had an MRI. Why is it different with the quarterback? So they have no consistency in anything they do in terms of their messaging. And that's been a minor problem, but that's the least of their problems. Their biggest problem is they stink. And
Stinking continues to be undefeated in terms of problems. By the way, Drake May today... in a losing effort, I know some of them were garbage yards as well. 26 of 37, 276 yards, 2 touchdowns. Andy, if before the game I told you, all right, here's Drake May's stat line. How do you think this game is going to go? Would you have said, oh, the Pats get doubled up on and they're not in the game for the final 35 minutes?
No, absolutely not. That stat line, I would have thought you won the game because I would have thought Ramondre Stevenson had a nice day in his return. You balanced out the offense and you're playing a bad football team. Nope, I thought that would have been enough to get it done. But again, didn't know you were going to allow them to run the ball just at will down your throat. And the worst part of the running game was none of these fluffed up numbers because some guy had like an 80-yard run and it swayed the numbers. Their longest run of the day was 13 yards. Feels like the shortest run of the day was probably like 7 yards, right? It was like all just chunk yard, running right up the middle. There was nothing they could do about it. And I know no Barmore, no Bentley, no Peppers. I know you're down a man, but it felt like they didn't even really put up a fight. And then all just the sloppiness, continued sloppiness. Jalen Polk's been a problem. Jalen Polk's still a problem. Hunter Henry, hey, how about we don't false start on third down or fourth down, because you've been doing that, and that C on your chest is supposed to mean you don't really do dumbass things like that, certainly not error repeater style. They just, the penalties, the poor play, the whole damn thing, they sucked the fun out of what should have been a fun football game.
It really should have. I told you when I was in with you on the afternoon this week, we said again on Saturday when I was with Scheim, anywhere I possibly could, and again here when I was at the stadium earlier, this was the game. You had no other game on against it. You had an international location. You had a big audience on NFL Network, and it was broadcast locally in both cities. There was no other game to watch. So this is when everyone got to see these new Patriots, and they got to see their fancy new quarterback. And, hey, all you got to do is just play your best, play a clean game, and let the quarterback cook. Let Drake May cook, and everyone will say, hey, the Patriots, they may not be back, but I think they got something going on. If you're an outsider and you were familiar with the Brady Belichick years, the unique and improbable, never to be repeated double dynastic run, and you hadn't really seen the Patriots for a while, you figured, oh, they were going to kind of stink for a little bit. They'd have to rebuild. And now is when you tuned in. You'd have to say to yourself, how the freak are they 5 years removed from the Tom Brady era and they're this discombobulated?
Well, that's a long story. I mean, I know we got 3 hours, but we're going to detail all Bill Belichick's bad draft picks and bad decisions down the stretch and things that they did and then the transition of power and wasting a few years and Mac Jones. There's a lot of details in there of what's gone wrong post-Tom Brady. Some of it is Bill Belichick, not all of it. And this regime is getting further away from being able to blame it all on Bill Belichick. They got their own issues that they need to answer for and take care of. But I'm going to stay optimistic. You got the number one pick coming, baby. You're going to trade it for 3 number one picks. You're going to get a tackle. You're going to get a wide receiver. You're going to get a pass rusher. And you're going to get your ass back in the competitive cycle of the National Football League.
Now, if they're a good one, we have no idea.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith. really. I mean, they've nailed Drake May, but I feel like that was the obvious easy pick. Take the third quarterback who falls to you at three. You didn't do all that much. After that, you haven't done all that much in your first draft. Elliott Wolf, Groh, and everybody else that was collaborating this year. Because your second-round wide receiver looks like a Belichickian second-round receiver, or maybe worse.
Oof. You know, I would say Drake May was kind of a Yahoo auto-draft pick.
Yep.
And I remember last year in Belichick's last season, it was about halfway through the season. I think I even regurgitated this line to you later on the postgame show that particular week. This guy came up to me and he said, as far as the Patriots draft problems go, could somebody just go up to Belichick and tell him whenever he gets to the draft, just turn on Yahoo auto draft and just take best available?
Yep.
And I feel like the Patriots did that with May, and then they decided to like turn it off, and then they got fancy and they traded out of 32, or they tried to trade up. And then they took a right tackle when they needed a left tackle, and they weren't prepared for the tackle run. And then they did this. And look, Laydon Robinson might turn out to be a good player. You may end up with a couple of keepers from the draft overall. And this is not this show today. We've got a lot to hit on that the team has not done well, and a lot that we hope to help fix. And we have a lot of hands to hold, because I see your calls lined up at 617-779-7937. But when you have the, I mean, I guess you got to start throwing darts. That's the way it goes. And yes, I
or
too,
smoking them.
Jeez. Honestly, if only we're allowed at this point.
Oh, shut up, cricket boy.
You know, but I too, like you, person doing yard work, listening at home or in the car, driving to, you know, I don't know what you're doing, getting your kids
soccer Halloween practice.
Yeah, you're coming back from baseball, going to lacrosse, maybe you're gonna do a little grocery shopping, whatever it is. I too cannot believe that we're already talking draft next year. I really can't. I mean, that's where we're, it's just 2 years
Fitzy,
in a row.
Fitzy, did you not listen to me when this team could go 0-17?
Oh, I
wasn't wrong. I may have been wrong about the actual record, and I still say the Bengals are the one who lost that game. That frickin' tight end over the middle and the interception that could have happened in the end zone. You were well on your way to 0-17, and you're still well on your way to what feels like an 0-17 season. That win feels so far ago.
Yeah, can
so
I get
lost
a refund on Take 'Em to the Hill?
Like, that was stupid. That was as bad as the boogeyman.
Hold on, Andy. Sorry. Here's Coach Strawdale.
We're a soft football team across the board. We talk about what makes a tough football team. That's being able to run the ball. That's being able to stop the run. And that's being able to cover kicks. And we did none of those today. They controlled the ball for most of the day. You know, their run game averaged over 4.5 yards a carry. Our run game, not sure what the average was, but it wasn't good. Look, back to the drawing board. I mean, we can't sit here and pout. We just got to put a game together. I'm not sure. That's something that you got to watch on, you know, watch on film. What I will say is it's a mentality, it's an attitude. And here as of late, our run game just hasn't been able to do anything offensively and then defensively. I mean, the players, like, we just got to play better. We got to play better technique. Got to lock our guy out in front of us and really just, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Locking the guy out in front of you, dominating him and making a tackle. I'm not sure. I mean, that's something that, you know, I have to think about. You know, we have a long flight back, and I'm not sure. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, we did something different and now we're a soft football team. It's just the mentality that we got to get back in the guys.
Do you think you need to consider a change to the defensive play calling?
Look, once again, I'll go back over the film, and, you know, from where I was standing, like, even when you're in the right call, they're still not doing their job, so that's on me.
The decision to go for the 2-point conversion after the touchdown.
Yeah. So that decision, at some point in time, you have to go for two. And I just wanted to at least know what situation we were going to be in with more time on the clock. So we went for two on the first one. You know, I'm sure other people see it a different way. It's just a philosophical thing.
What did you see on the punt return touchdown?
I saw guys getting out leveraged. I saw a punt down the middle of the field. Which is always difficult to cover. And look, he has a strong leg, and he outkicked his coverage, and we weren't disciplined in our lanes.
How did you assess Drake
May's play, his second start? I thought Drake did a good job, especially starting the game off fast. He made some good throws. He made some plays with his legs. But again, I have to go back to the film and really just study that.
Gerard, with now six straight losses, are you worried that you're losing the players at all and that guys can't really down?
No, I'm not worried about that. Look, the guys, they understand. Every week is its own week, and, you know, it's my job. You know, when we get there on Wednesday, is to change the page. So,
John, you used that word the other day, rebuild, which was great, you know, restart, rebuild. Does it feel farther away than maybe even you thought when you took this job?
No, not at all. You know, look, I don't want to go back and say we should have won this or should, because we should have lost. I mean, we could have lost all of the games. And saying that, we just got to keep working, going out there with the players that we have and get better.
The run game offensively, what do you think that phase is not having the success you're used to there?
I mean, that kind of goes back to what I said earlier. It's a mentality. It's a mentality, and it's about reestablishing the line of scrimmage.
Level of concern with Jalen Polk? I mean, just hands on the ball and not
finishing. Yeah, we need more from Polk. We need more concentration. He'll be a good player in this league. Just got to continue to work at it.
Offensively, you had 10 points on the first two drives. What did you see change after that?
Again, I'll go back and look at the film. It would be easy to say, the vibe on the sideline was down. It wasn't down. It was still up. It was just, it always comes back to execution in my eyes, and just didn't do it. It wasn't like a big adjustment that was made or anything like that. We just weren't making the plays.
Do you wish you had brought the team out here earlier to get more accolade or anything like that?
No. Look, once again, we started the game off fast, and they felt, they felt good. I asked multiple players, and we just didn't finish.
But you use the word concentration when you're talking about some of the problems on the field. Do you think concentration is a problem that's growing before the end of the season?
No, I don't think so. I think every single week is its own week, and you got to hit the reset button. And that includes concentration, attention to the details, all of those things. Well, first, I have to remind him he's a young football player, and I'm not using that as an excuse, but, I mean, this isn't the last iteration or evolution of Jalen Polk. He just has to get back in the meeting rooms and go back out there on the field and get better.
Soft is a tough word for a player to hear. Are you trying to send a message to them?
Every time I talk to you guys, I understand that the players read all of that stuff, so I always use this vehicle as a way to reinforce a message or get a message out to those guys. There's always a way to be harder. I think there's always a balance in doing that. Again, like we, six straight losses. I mean, they feel bad about it as well. As a professional player, like, you feel bad about losses just like everyone else. And it's about just going back to the drawing board and trying to put some stuff together.
You describe the team as soft. I mean, how would you describe the coaching staff?
Look, the coaches, first it starts with me. And, it's about just the mentality of going back to having a tough football team, and I just have to do a better job. And like I said, I'll think it through on the plane ride home.
Final questions.
Look, it's hard to win football games in the NFL, and I totally understand that. I've talked to seasoned coaches, head coaches around the league, and they say the same thing. It's tough. It's tough. And then once again, every week is its own week.
Coach, what last successful, sort of not successful, but, 1-6, second half of the season.
Yep. I think the main goal is to win next week. Thank you.
Well, a couple of tasty little takeaways there from Coach Gerard Mayo, who sounds about the same as he did in victory. Remember that victory a month and a half ago, which now it almost sort of feels like we want to get a refund on, as he does in defeat. Oh, and Drake May comes right after him. How about that?
Yeah, no, we've been preaching fast start. AVP, he wanted us to start fast. He said it last week, we didn't do it, but I feel like, we did that today and we just didn't sustain it long enough. I had some chances down in the red zone that second drive that I wish I had back. But other than that, I think what Coach Mayo's preaching, we got to be able to run the football. And when we do throw it on first and second down, I got to find some completions to get us in, third and manageable. Third and long's hard in this league, and I thought the guys battled, especially up front. Those guys playing their butts off. Those guys a lot up front, and I feel like we made some plays, just not good enough.
What do you think you guys wanted to sustain with that
start? Yeah, I think, but I think other than maybe one or two other games this season, we haven't started fast in a while. It was kind of something new for us. So, proud of the guys for starting fast. I think I, had, you know, KB open on, you know, the third down down there, you know, on the second drive, maybe punch one in, you know, punch another one in, and it's, you know, maybe a different ball game. So maybe, you know, a couple throws here and there, you know, for me as well. And then other than that, we just got to, I guess, just find out, you know, ways to, you know, get first downs. And I feel like the Jags did a nice job of, you know, time possession. Shoot, we had for a while there in the second half, one drive the whole half until the end. So no credit to them. And then just got to, I don't know, work harder, find something different, you know, find something different.
Drake, Gerard Meadows just came in here and said you guys were a soft football team. He used that phrase several times. Did he say that to you, and how does it feel to him?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Meadows is not going to come in here and say something he hasn't said us in the locker room. You know, I think, you know, we're not tough. He always preaches being tough. He preached it today, you know. Being tough is, you know, running the football, stopping the run, and covering kicks is what he said. So, you know, I think he does a great job of relaying the message to us. And the guys know, you know, John Jones gave, you know, a speech after the game saying, you know, you got to find it. You know, we got to find something. And you know, what we're doing is not good enough. And we've got to man up. Yeah, I think little things like, you know, the false starts that falls out on me. We got to be more, you know, clear and up front with the cadence with the O-line and those guys. But other than that, I took care of the football maybe one time, one or two times endangered it. And then on that last one, the fourth down, just football there. But other than that, in fact, I'm seeing it well, make a few different throws. But other than that, I think you do a better job on the sideline. Sometimes pumping guys up or, you know, relaying some messages to different guys that may, you may see this, hey, what are you thinking, and little things like that. But, you know, I thought we'd, you know, had some bright spots again today, but like I said, not good enough.
Drake, on the touchdown to Hasty early on,
when
did you see that?
Yeah, they, it was just a hot, you know, we're hot to the back, and they end up bringing, I think, back or in safety, and, you know, they dropped out the guy, the defensive end on the opposite side. So just finding completion, you know, it was third and 10, we're already in field goal range. And then Hasty made a play. I think we got to do more of that, of getting our guys the ball and let them make plays. And you know, I thought I'd try to do that today. Found the check downs, you know, besides that last drive, just when they're playing deep. You know, I found some check downs early on in the game that helped us. And I feel like, you know, little plays like that in first or second down can, you know, go a long way for us.
Drake, do you think you compared last week to this week as far as you go? Did things feel like they slipped out of your head this week?
Yeah, I think more and more. You know, more and more you're out there. You're seeing different things, seeing different fronts, seeing different coverages, and getting a better feel. You know, I think the Jags, you know, did some different stuff with playing guys in different spot in the same coverage. And then, but other than that, you know, I'm here to help this football team win, and we're not getting that done, so I got to do something different. Yeah. I think, you know, JP's a great player. You know, he's making plays. You know, it's a little slick out there. Sometimes the ball's on the paint and, you know, the paint all over the ball. So, you know, I think, you know, it's just the field a little bit. But other than that, we've got to find ways to get the football early. You know, I need to get him in the game early. I think that'll help him, you know, feel involved. Got to make a better throw to him on the corner route on the first drive. You know, little things like that to get him involved because, you know, he's a good player for us and, you know, we need him out there. So, it's on me to, you know, kind of get him going, and throughout the week, he's always asking me to watch film and little things like that. And I guess throw after practice, he's always there. So, you know, maybe even, you know, got to do more. You know, whatever we're doing is not, you know, do more.
So your final question, guys. I know Paul was trying to talk it up before this. How hard is it to expect him to be playing in the game and then the last second?
Yeah, you know, Pop's a great player for us. He, you know, made a great, you know, play on, you know, a couple of good plays on the first drive. But, you know, it's next man up. You know, this is the NFL. You know, there's some big dudes colliding into each other out there on the field. So, we have the next man up, and, you know, credit to Pop for battling through and being out there as much as he can. He's a great player for us, and hopefully have him back. Thank you.
Well, Drake May coming right after Coach Gerard Mayo, getting done 1-2 as the Patriots have to obviously get their effects in order, head to the airport, go through customs, and then make a long flight home. And if the flights are all about watching some film, assessing the performance, or maybe in this case just trying to maybe take a nap, lick your wounds, and forget about what you just went through, good thing it's a six-hour-plus flight, because there's a whole lot people are going to want to forget about that one. There are a couple of nuggets, Andy, from each presser that I would like to go back and revisit, but just a flurry of text messages, and we've got some social media we want to share later on. These are some of the text messages I've received in the past, let's say, hour from friends I text with pretty much every game day Sunday who are diehard, long-tenured Pats fans. Dude, this team is a joke. We just got our ass kicked by the 1-5 Jags. We just got manhandled by the Jaguars. They had more want to. Not enough is being talked about how they've had culture issues, embarrassments off the field, and they're so poorly coached. This team can't be fun even in defeat. Why must we suffer like this on Sundays? All we need to do is get a brand new team surrounding Drake May, and it'll actually be fun to watch. Like, it just goes on and on and on. Holy smokes.
Can add some from the text line. Polk needs to swim home. First three darts in order, Van Pelt, Covington, Polk. If Daboll gets fired, Pat should hire him for OC.
I don't even think Daboll should be. Firing Brian Daboll, in my estimation, would kind of be a mistake.
Well, but that's a different story. I think just if you're a Patriots fan, you hope for it. For the Drake May purposes. But forget the text line and forget your texts individually. There's nothing that hits harder than your head football coach saying, we're a soft football team across the board. Oof. Like, you can't, in a testosterone-filled world of alpha males, you can't say much more than that to really put a team in their place. And he's calling them out, and he admitted it. He goes, when I talk to you guys, I've told you, I'm sending a message or I'm reinforcing a message, and then we hear Drake May say, he just said the same thing to us. He is calling out his football team, and we'll see how they respond and they react. And the other issue I would say, is it a want to or a can't? I always like to ask this question. Is it that they don't want to be tougher? Is it that they don't want to be a better football team? Or are they simply incapable? Is that just who they are as players, as a unit, whatever, as a culture? Because I'm not sure this is as simple as wanting to be a tougher football team and just flipping some switch and it's going to turn it around. I don't think they're at that point.
My word, I cannot believe how many people are just taking a cursory look at social media. Listen, honest to God, so many people, fire Van Pelt, holy people, they're not going to fire the head coach that was handpicked by the owner, who said 5 years ago he sought him out and decided that he was going to be the next head coach whenever it was time for either Bill Belichick to walk away or for the organization to uncouple from him. He's here for a while. You don't just start a rebuild, not like the initial effort into what obviously has to be a difficult part and a slog, and then say, that's it, we're done. Like, that's, the Patriots, they're not just going to eat that contract as well. What a terrible look. I mean, and what a mess of a roster that he's inherited that he has to deal with, too. Joe, do you happen to have the totality of that soundbite, the Gerard Mayo soft football team? Can you play that again?
Disappointing game. We came out, we started fast. What I would say is, look, we're a soft football team across the board. We talk about what makes a tough football team. That's being able to run the ball. That's being able to stop the run. And that's being able to cover kicks. And we did none of those today. They controlled the ball for most of the day. You know, their run game averaged over 4.5 yards a carry. Our run game, not sure what the average was, but it wasn't good. Look, back to the drawing board. I mean, we can't sit here and pout. We just got to play the game together.
That's good. I can't hear much more of that. I mean, Andy, just think about this. We never had any delusions of thinking playoffs or, hey, this team is way better than we thought. I mean, how bad the Bengals must just be. If I'm the Bengals, I can't even live with myself at this point. But to think that this team has gone from take them to the hill to we're a soft football team across the board in just 6 weeks' time. Again, I'm not saying it's time to fire coaches, especially Gerard Mayo. Good Lord, no. But, like, you can't just say, well, we'll look at the film and do some soul searching. Like, no, somebody from whatever is the Patriots equivalent of internal affairs needs to, like, root through the building and figure out just what in the flip is going on, because this is just wholly unacceptable. It's really brutal.
I don't disagree with you that I don't think Mayo's getting fired. I don't even think that'd be a consideration. No. But the reality is, if you're a soft football team, that means you're kind of an embarrassing football team. And if you're kind of an embarrassing football team, usually firings are a consideration, and usually the head coach is in the crosshairs. Like this, I'm not saying this specific to Gerard Mayo and the 2024 Patriots. I'm saying soft football team equals embarrassing. Embarrassing equals coach on the hot seat, right? Like those are just sort of generic aspects of this job and of this league. And I understand why people are reacting this way. It's one thing if you just get flat out talented, but when a team runs the ball 19 straight times right down your throat, that isn't out talented. That is, you don't really want to do this. You're not putting up full fight. There's something wrong there. That is not a common occurrence on any team in the NFL, right? Like, I don't care how bad you are. Nonetheless, against a 1-5 team that was supposedly going to fire their coach. He's the guy who's supposed to be on the hot seat. He's the guy who's bitching about culture, and he's the culture setter. Which team has the worst culture right now, the Jags or the Patriots? That's a debate.
I don't even think that's a worthy debate. I really don't. The Jaguars
and
had
the other
more
team
talent.
Was going to fire their coach. I firmly believe there was a chance
ropes.
He was going to get fired.
On the ropes across the pond, Andy, in front of their adopted fan base. You know, we make all your jokes you want about, like, you know, oh, they could knock out Doug Peterson, get revenge for Super Bowl 52, pave the way for Bill Belichick, blah, 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 blah.
Nope.
All of that little slap and tickle pithy aside now, the Jaguars were a mess, and you waltzed into their adopted stadium in front of tens of thousands of your fans from all over the world, and you threw a jab, and then you basically just got backed into the corner and got body blowed for 12 rounds. Woof. Just brutal. Oh, God. Insert Andy Hart sound here.
Ugh.
Anyway, we will get to all your phone calls. The lines are jammed right now. We'll be hearing from Pats fans all over New England and this great country of ours in just moments. If you'd like to weigh in with your frustrations, 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. And, of course, producer Joe Braverman monitoring your text at 37937. Later on in the show, we will check in with a largely disappointed Chris Scheim for the second installment of the Drake May Report Card. Lots more you. We'll have the thumbs up, thumbs down on the game, the Cars for Kids player of the game. And don't forget, this is all brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy. This is the Six Rings Postgame Show live on WEEI.